BBC Radio Merseyside. Now, 2023 marks the 125th anniversary of an institution based here in Liverpool, but with a worldwide reputation. When the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine was founded by Sir Alfred Jones in 1898, it was the first institution of its kind anywhere in the world. For the past 125 years, it's been on the forefront of cutting-edge research and teaching in the field of tropical medicine. And to mark this incredible anniversary, we're going to be talking to different people from the Tropical School of Medicine. And one of those is an old friend of BBC Radio Merseyside, Dr. Adam Roberts. Adam is a reader in He'll tell us what it is. Adam, how are you?
I'm really good. Thanks for getting me back on the show.
What are you reading? Antimicrobial chemotherapy and resistance.
That's right, yeah. Antimicrobial chemotherapy and resistance. We kind of look at how bacteria that cause disease become resistant to the medicines that we use to treat them. And we also try and find new medicines from all sorts of different places.
Wow. So what is your role over at the school?
So I head up a research group of approximately 20 individuals at the moment, ranging from PhD students to postdoctoral researcher associates. And we kind of research how bacteria become resistant to our medicines, to our antibiotics, and what we can do in order to try and stop that spreading. Okay, so it's all about trying to maintain the efficacy of the antibiotics that we've got at the moment for as long as possible, because we're running out. Bacteria become resistant really quickly. They are skilled in adapting to anything that we can throw at them. And we need to kind of extend that window of usefulness of the ones we've got whilst we try and find new ones.
So it's a case of finding new antibiotics then?
Yep. That's one of the things we're doing.
Yeah, because there hasn't been a new antibiotic for a long time, has there?
That's right. We're in what we are calling a discovery void. It's actually relatively easy to find a new one, but bringing it to market and making it safe for use in humans is the real tricky bit, because there's no money in it. There's no profit on an antibiotic because you only sell a few pills per patient. They take them for a few days.
That's right.
So you can't really expect pharmaceutical companies, for example, to spend $1 billion over 10 years making a new one, and then they don't recoup that money. They're not a charity.
Wow. And you're involved in a project called Swab and Send. Tell us about that.
Okay, so that is probably one of our flagship public engagement projects. And what we ask is that the public sort of decide where or what to swab. They swab it and they send the swabs back to us. And what we do is grow everything we can on an agar plate from that swab. So all the bacteria and fungi from whatever they've swabbed, and that could be something in their fridge, it could be their cat. We've had lion poo from Chester Zoo. We've had all sorts of things from all over the world. And we get a huge variety of different bacteria growing on these. And what a lot of people don't realize is the antibiotics that we use are naturally made by bacteria we usually find in soil and on other places.
Really?
So we're analyzing bacteria from really anywhere in the planet to see if they are making new antibiotics that we're not yet using in medicine.
Does the weather have any bearing on this project?
Sometimes. So if you've got cold climates versus hot climates, you'll get different bacteria growing. Those different bacteria will have different chemistries. So what we would like to do is to sample both the hot and the cold, the wet, the dry. There's an amazing number of bacteria in deserts, for example. You wouldn't think it, but yeah, it's covered in microbiology.
Wow. And for the 125th anniversary, you're localising the project with something called Living Liverpool in partnership with Everton and the community's school network. How will that work, and what results do you hope that will produce?
Okay, so that's quite an exciting project we've come up with to sort of mark the 125th anniversary. So there hasn't yet been a study done anywhere in the world where somebody has looked at the microbiology of an entire city. Okay, I think that Liverpool is really well poised to be that first city. So what we're suggesting and what we're hoping to do with Everton in the community and all of their school children that they work with is that we get the school children to swab various sites around the city, and all those swabs come back to the lab and we build up a microbial map of Liverpool in its entirety. Wow. So we'll have hundreds of different sites. We'll have thousands of swabs. There'll be thousands of school children introduced to science. This is a real scientific project which they can sort of participate in, and it will come up with results which will show us what's living in our city on a bacterial level. So this is the invisible community in which we live. Okay, whether there are disease-causing bacteria, whether there is there is antibiotic resistance in the bacteria, whether there are signals in the microbiology of the heavy industry of Liverpool. So, you know.
So it would vary from city to city if all cities done it.
Absolutely. It would also vary, I think, from places within the city. So what's growing down by the docks is probably going to be what's different to what's growing in Sefton Park.
Well, it's intriguing, isn't it, really? And part of the swab and send, you're going to swab 125 landmarks, as you say. Have you chosen them?
No. So there's discussions ongoing. There's quite a bit of excitement over what we're going to swab. So, you know, we can take advice off that. What we do want to do is make sure we get the most prominent landmarks, because hopefully that will draw people in to see them as well. Wow. You know, this really is very much for the community. And what we want to show the community is what we do at the school. You know, we want to get away from people walking past LSTM and not knowing what goes on in there. If they know, actually, they're looking at the microbiology of Liverpool. This is relevant. It's not everything we do is not overseas.
Have you always been intrigued by these things, going back to school even?
Yes. Yeah, I've always been intrigued in the microbiology of our living environment ever since, you know, you see fungi, mushrooms in the forest, you see things going moldy within your fridge if you don't eat it quick enough. That didn't happen often when I was a kid, but it did every now and again. And it just always intrigued me that, you know, are they the visitors to our world, or actually are humans the visitors to the microbial world? And it's very much the second. Bacteria were here first. They'll be here long after us. They control pretty much everything we do. So it's really interesting to try and work out how they do that and what types of bacteria are present in our environment and how we interact with them.
Wow. I remember I found out how they make blue cheese, and I thought there was some really elaborate process, but they just run wire through it and and let bacteria take over, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's a mold, but the spores of the mold are in the room where they leave the cheese to kind of incubate. And, you know, if one of the things we do with school children is ask them to put their fingertips on an agar plate just to show them what's living on their body, because, you know, even if you've washed your hands, you're still going to have some bacteria and fungi on there. And looking at the amazement on their faces when they see the following day how many different things are growing is extraordinary, and I think it really captures their interest.
Wow. I mean, this is science fiction happening in front of their eyes in a way, isn't it?
It's kind of, yeah.
And you're also involved in a public service information campaign called Simple Things.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So over the last couple of weeks, Annabelle and Claudia are in my group, two excellent research assistants. They've been working with CHAMPS, which is the Cheshire and Merseyside Public Health Consortium, or services, I think. And they commissioned us to do some work for them. And they sampled things like self-service checkouts, escalator handrails, keyboards. And they sent us the swabs from that, and we showed what we could grow from it in our lab. And one of the things that we could grow was a bacteria which is usually associated with human feces. And that was really common on the self-service checkouts. That bacteria is called E. coli. And it's kind of indicative that people using those self-service checkouts are not washing their hands enough when they go to the loo. Yeah. So you get this kind of, I suppose, thin film of coverage of the microbiology from your own activities spread over everything you touch. And really the message of that is just keep washing your hands. You know, we've been told to wash our hands and do lots of different things through COVID. This is kind of being minimized now.
Mm.
But actually in winter, when you're going to see vulnerable relatives, elderly individuals in hospital, people with lower immune systems, it's important to keep that hand washing up, because with everybody coming out now in society, things are a little bit more dirty. And, you know, we've shown that on the things that we sampled from this particular project. So you could see that online. I think the Daily Mail covered it. It's on one of the NHS websites. It's called Simple Things.
Wow. I mean, this is one of the best facilities in the world you're working at here, isn't it?
Undoubtedly. I'm completely biased, but it is. We've got a really sort of heavy research portfolio. We work across a multiple range of diseases. We're working in, I think, up to 70 different countries at any one time.
Really?
So we're working with a huge array of different communities, cultures, and countries, and it's really exciting. Actually, it makes me proud to work there.
I suppose that there's never a time when you just there's a boring day, but there's always something where you go, wow, I didn't know that.
Absolutely, that's right. Or there's something happening which requires, you know, our help and attention. We've got some staff at the moment helping with the Ebola response in Uganda, for example. You know, you don't see this on the news, but these things crop up all of the time.
God, 125 years next year. Wow. What does the future hold?
Well, I think, you know, we're going to sort of build on the incredible foundations that we've got. We're going to expand. We're going to continue to try and fulfill our mission and our aims, which is to help communities across the planet, you know, not just overseas, but also within Liverpool. And it's basically just onwards and upwards.
Mm. Do you have a chance to switch off? I mean, take for instance, we were talking before about the Christmas period. Are you still thinking all the time about stuff you need to do? And
yeah, so mental downtime isn't really a thing for me personally. Mm. But what I do to relax is to spend time with family and friends. It's very refreshing. It kind of grounds you, I think.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's great to see you back at Radio Merseyside, Adam. It really is. And fabulous work you're doing over there. And what's on for the rest of the day?
So the rest of the day, there is a grant that needs submitting for some more work, looking at new therapeutics. And then I will be writing up two particular papers until around about 5 when I go home and switch off for the weekend.
Feet up, bottle of red.
Yep.
That sounds good. Adam, thanks for popping in. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. 125 years next year. And here's at the next 125. Great to see you, pal.
Thanks. Thanks.